The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me, for us. The question is, how difficult is that sometimes? You know, when we go through stuff, when we all go through stuff, right? How many of you don't go through stuff? Okay. I don't have one hand come up. So I know we're all going through stuff in our life. We have ups and downs. We have difficulties. We have pain. But we have good times. We have obstacles. But we also have those times when it just seems like everything's going just right. Amen? I mean, it's just life. Life is this way. However, we also recognize that we have an enemy that is a spiritual enemy. And that spiritual enemy is doing everything he can to destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what Scripture tells us. So if he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, the Word of God is very clear on the reality that, yes, he does that, but Jesus Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Yeah. And because of that, we can give thanks in everything. That's not saying that we give thanks because of everything. We give thanks in everything that we go through. We give thanks because we know who's on the throne. We give thanks because the conditions and the situations that are happening all around us, we have a big God that has control over everything. And he has promised us that he's not going to allow more than we can handle to come upon us. Now, sometimes it seems like he's pushing it right to the limit, doesn't it? Pushing us right to the edge. But he's still on the throne. If we can trust in him, if we can recognize the power that our God has and know that no matter what is taking place, he still has promises for us. Think about the promises that God has for you. The Bible is full of promises. He said, Jesus Christ, the scripture I just gave you, scripture tells us that Jesus is much more powerful. He's overcome the world. Yeah. Yeah. He's overcome the things. If you think about the Old Testament, you think about David in the Old Testament. King David was promised that he would be king of Israel, of all of Israel. But do you know it took 17 years before he actually was anointed as the king over Israel? He was anointed by Samuel initially to be king. But yet, 17 years passed. 17 years of what we would consider hell on earth. Because he was chased by Saul, King Saul. He lived in the wilderness. He went through all kinds of difficulties, ups and downs. And yet, David never lost heart in the reality that God had a promise and God would fulfill that promise. I want to tell you today, God has promises for you. He promises that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He promises that he has hope and a future for you. He promises that he is and he always will be on your side. But the question is, are we going to recognize God's goodness, and be able to hold fast to those promises that he has made to us through every situation and every circumstance. I read a story this week about an old pastor who was a pastor in North Dakota, where the winters get really bad many times. And he had just moved in that area, and he had charge over several churches. And that particular winter was a fierce winter. And one Saturday night, it snowed tremendous amount of snow. People were having a hard time getting through it. In North Dakota, they don't cancel anything. They do it. They go. They're rough when it comes to winter. So he had the responsibility of going from church to church. And this guy had a reputation of finding the positive in every situation. And he would always come into the church, and no matter what was happening, he would thank God for the good things that were going on. Well, this guy had to go through this huge snowstorm and the cold, bitter cold, to go from church to church. By the time he got to this last church, the people were wondering what he would be able to say that would be positive and good. And he started the service by praying. He said, "Oh God, I just want to give you glory and praise, for you are such an awesome God. And we thank you today, God, that every day is not like today." Amen. We can find some positive things in every situation. But I believe it has much to do with, it begins with our attitude. I believe that God wants us to learn to be optimistic. You know, there's an organization called the Optimist Club. I don't know much about them, but I would gather that these guys get together and encourage each other. They do a lot of good work in the community. When we were operating the group home in Athens, the Optimist Club supported us and helped us. So they believe in looking at things from an optimistic perspective. And I believe that the body of Christ, for some reason, has gotten into this habit of being pessimistic rather than optimistic. Even the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, we turn that into a negative. And we start looking at all the horrible things that are going on and talk about that rather than recognize that this is a good thing that Jesus comes back. We should be excited. Our Savior is coming. But until He does, He has said this: occupy until I come. Literally, that scripture means do business till I come. And what are we doing business? We do business. We do business in this world till Jesus comes. We do spiritual business. We do warfare. We do the business of the kingdom. And everything that is in our life, there is nothing secular and spiritual. It's all spiritual. Everything about your life, whatever your occupation is, that's a part of your calling, whatever you're doing right now. God has placed you there for a purpose, so that you can minister to other people, so that you can be a light to others. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as we go through this message this morning, I want you to understand something. This is not a self-help program that I'm sharing with you. This is a biblical study that will help you establish your life on a firm, solid foundation. That's right. That's right. You don't need self-help. You need Jesus' help.
Yes, yes.
Jesus is the answer. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that's the beginning of all this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Born again. Born not only of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. You must be spiritually born. And in order to be spiritually born, you recognize that you're a sinner. You know that you need to be saved by the grace of God, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. And He came back to life. Born again is not intellectual knowledge of Jesus. Born again is a spiritual experience that takes place in the hearts, in the minds of people. And it not only changes our heart, but it changes our way of thinking. And then the things that I'm going to share with you this morning will not happen in your life consistently unless you have that experience. It's necessary. But I can help set you on the right course to receive the blessings of God. And part of that is recognizing these good things, the blessings that the Lord has for us. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning is learn to be an optimist. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Do we have that scripture? Are we having problems? Okay. All right. No problem. No problems, right? There it is. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, you're seeing it back here, I'm seeing it up there. That's the reason I was pointing that way. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love this scripture. We're not looking at the circumstances that are around us. We're not looking at the happenings. We're not looking. We need to get our eyes off all the negative that is taking place in the world and begin to recognize that our God is a God that can take care of every situation. We need to get serious about this prayer life that we have and begin to recognize that our prayers will change things. God expects His people to move in the supernatural realm. If we're afraid of the supernatural, we're afraid of God Himself because He's supernatural. Now, I'm telling you, there are supernatural things that we need to stay away from, and that's the works of the enemy, the occult. I gave a message on that a couple weeks ago. How important it is to stay away from occult practice. However, the power of God is real. The gifts of the Spirit are real. God wants to speak into your life. He wants you to hear His voice. When people tell you you're crazy if you're hearing God, they're crazy because they're not hearing God. There's something wrong. If you're a Christian and you're not hearing the voice of God, Holy Spirit speaking. He always speaks. He always directs. He always encourages. He always helps. They can tell me I'm crazy if they want. I'm just crazy enough to be wise enough to hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. And He will speak to you personally. He'll speak to you through other people with confirmation of what He's spoken to you personally. Through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. Through incredible gifts that are to be used, not only in the body of Christ, but in the world, wherever we go. Don't be afraid of the power of God. Listen, I'm proud to say that we are a church that believes the gifts of the Spirit are in operation today.
Yes, sir.
God didn't do away with those things. Look at the first century church. Look at all the things that took place. We need that today in our world. We need the world to be shaken again, just like it was on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
When they accused the believers of being drunk. They were drunk, all right. They were drunk in the Spirit.
That's right.
They had the power of God on them. We can trust that our God is still working today in this place. I've gotten off track. Let's get back on. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, once you have that born-again experience, it is necessary that your mind becomes transformed. You renew it. It needs to be renewed. How do you renew your... Well, you're doing a good job right now. You're having your mind renewed because you're here in this place. When we worship the Lord, your mind is being renewed.
Right.
Your spirit's being renewed. You know, there is a supernatural experience that takes place when we come together and worship the living God.
Right.
We raise our hands, we shout, we do all these things. There's something supernatural going on. Amen. Praise God. And some of us become more emotional than others. Now, we're trying to get there with everybody. But you know, Ivy gets emotional because that's the Spirit of God coming up on her. I don't want to hear any nonsense about that. This is a good thing. Jerry gets emotional, runs around and shouts and wants to love everybody he comes in contact with. That's the Spirit of God coming up on him. Now, does he have control over the way that he reacts to it? Yeah, he does. But he chooses to shout and run and jump and glorify Jesus. And I'm blessed by it. Amen. This is good. It's good to show our emotion when we serve the living God. Now, here's what I want you to learn. I want you to learn to start seeing the cup half full rather than half empty. Amen? Because you see what happens when we see the cup half full, we can believe that God's going to fill that cup the rest of the way. But when we see the cup half empty, we have a tendency to think in a negative fashion that that cup is eventually going to become empty. Amen? So it's important that we change our thinking in regards to the way we see the cup. And of course, I'm talking about the circumstances and the situations that we go through in life. That's why we got to change our attitude about it. Attitude determines your altitude. You ask any pilot, they will tell you. Attitude of the plane, which is the position of the nose, determines the altitude of that plane. And when they're flying and they get that nose down, you better get it back up real quick or you're going down. It's going down, down, down. That's the attitude. The attitude up means you're climbing. You're going up. Where's your attitude this morning? Where's your attitude every day? Where's your attitude when you get up tomorrow morning and you have to get ready to go to that job? That position, whether you're self-employed, sometimes it's worse when you're self-employed than it is if you're employed by somebody. But sometimes we get into the attitude that, oh no, I got to go to this thing again. I got to do this again. Well, listen, I want to help you change your attitude about your job, about the position you have. Look at it from the perspective that God has given you the opportunity to make a difference in this world. I don't care what it is. If you work construction, God is still able to use you to minister to other people. God is able to touch you and cause you to make a difference in that place. I know we have many construction workers. It varies. Throughout the kind of construction, we have carpenters, laborers, people that work on guardrail. Praise God. I thank God you have those positions because God wants to use you to be a salt and light to the people out there that need to know that Jesus is truly Lord.
Amen.
And I'm not telling you to take your Bible to work and beat people over the head with it. I'm telling you to be salt and light. I'm telling you to be different than the rest of the crowd. I'm telling you to make a difference by your attitude. How different we can be to make a change in people's lives. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. When we catch hold of that scripture and recognize the fact that we are the called according to His purpose, and no matter what's happening in our life, God is in control. And He's going to bring it to a place that it will benefit us. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through things in my life and I've said, God, how are you going to turn this one around? How are you going to make that good for me? But He is well able to do that every time. Every time. I want to tell you something. When I was a young man, I had some men that influenced my life. My dad was one. My dad had a pretty tough life when he was growing up. He lost his mother when he was about 10 years old. He lost his brother when my dad, I think he was in his early 20s, his brother passed away. He served in the Korean War, and that was a tough, he had a tough job in the war. He had some tough things happen to him. He worked hard all his life. But here's what I want you to know about my dad, and something that I learned from my dad. And that was, it doesn't matter what's going on, complaining isn't going to help it.
That's right.
My dad was always, I never heard him complain about having to get up and go to work for his family. I never heard him complain about giving up. You know, if there was if there was one piece of sausage left on the breakfast plate, and he wanted it, you knew he did. But if one of the kids wanted it, he would always give it up. He said, "Oh, let them have it." Whatever the situation, my dad would always see the positive in it, and he would always recognize that what he did made a difference for other people. He was always involved with church, and he would always help people. And I want you to understand something. People took advantage of him sometimes. How many of you have been taken advantage of before? Amen. Come on. If you have a heart to help people, it's going to happen. But I want to tell you, do not be concerned about that. Many years ago, when Tammy and I first got saved, there was a family that came around to the church. It was a little country church on the hill, South Bethel. Family came through and said that they had needs and they needed help. I don't know if they said they were going someplace or what. I don't remember all the details. But that church, people, they got in their pocketbooks and they gave. Well, we found out a couple weeks later that those people not only hit our church, but they hit every church in our area making a circuit. And they made out pretty well. Now, we had a choice to make as a congregation. We could all sit around and grumble and complain about those horrible people that ripped us off, or we could trust our God that we gave with the right attitude and God was going to bless us. And that's what we chose to do. It's going to happen. People will take advantage of you. We know in our Christmas giveaway, there are people that take advantage, full advantage of every giveaway that takes place in our community, our surrounding area. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what are we doing and why are we doing, and what is our attitude about giving? When I give, I release it to the Lord. Doesn't matter what that person does with it. I believe I've done the right thing. And when we give as a church, we do our best to take care of the finances here in this church. We have a great group of deacons and elders that make sure that everything is being done appropriately. We handle the finances properly. Jeannie is a great treasurer. She does such an awesome job. And if you buy something and you want to be reimbursed, you better have a receipt. She's on top of things. But my point is that, you know, we do our best. We're not slacking in that area, but it's still going to happen. And I don't want you to be concerned about being taken advantage of. Do what you feel God has laid on your heart, and you will be blessed by it. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. It doesn't say whatever you sow if the person is doing it with the right intention. No, it's giving you the responsibility. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap.
That's right.
You have the responsibility. Amen. Okay. Second thing I want to share with you is learn to speak positive words. Now, this is a tough one because sometimes we get in situations where things just do not look positive. But I do believe the Scripture is very clear that we're supposed to be careful with the way that we speak, the things that we speak. In Psalms 91, verse 2, this is a prayer of Moses, and he said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust." It's extremely important that we do not allow ourselves to get into the habit of complaining about anything and everything that comes our way. I read a story this week about a little family, and they were Christians, and the father always prayed before meals, but he had a bad habit of being negative about things. And he sat down at this meal that he was having for breakfast, and he had 9 children, and he was praying, "Oh God, thank you for this food, and thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us, and we just praise you for our family." And when he was done, as soon as he was done, he started looking. He said, "Man, what's wrong with these eggs? This sausage is horrible. Who made this coffee?" He just started, you know, that was his habit of complaining about everything. One of his kids piped up and said, "Dad, do you think God heard your prayer?" And he said, "Well, yeah." He was very proud. He said, "Well, do you think God heard you complaining?" He was a little more timid about it. "Well, yeah, I probably." Well, she said, "I wonder which one God believed." Which one does God believe? We can pray great prayers. We can sound very spiritual. But in reality, are we thankful for the things that He gives us? We've got a little clip from, what is it? It's from Hee Haw. And I just want to play this for you, because I always think about this song when I think about people complaining. Are we ready? Go ahead. Let's do this.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep down depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
So unhappy, she started to pack.
But I figured I could get us back on the right track.
So I give her a weekly allowance, but you fellas know how that is.
So she spent it before I had a chance to borrow it back.
You can cut it off. Thank you. All right. I don't know. I guess because I grew up watching Hee Haw, and that I always think about that before I complain about something. How miserable those guys act, and how miserable we seem to be sometimes when we start complaining about all kinds of things, anything that comes our way. Here's what I want you to understand. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So this thing, this word tells us that our sowing, now, we like to attach this to money and giving, but there's so much more to it than that. There is a lifestyle that we're talking about here. We're not just talking about giving money in the offering or giving money to people and expect God to give that back to us in any way. I believe that, you know, the scripture is true, that everything we do, we're sowing, we will reap. But listen, this is as much in regards to our attitude toward people and our family and the way we interact on a regular basis, that if we sow good things and positive things and godly things into people's life, we're going to reap that back into our life. How many wants to have good relationships wherever you go, whatever you do? Amen. How many need some things mended? Well, I can tell you, if you need things mended in your life, begin to sow good, positive things into other people's lives. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. We're supposed to love our enemies and not hate them. I don't like that scripture. I want you to understand that. It's not one of my favorites. If it was up to me, I'd tear that one out. But that's not God. And I have to live according to the Bible, to the Word of God. and his goodness is good and it's fresh and it's new every morning. And guess what? I see it in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want you to understand we do control our atmosphere. We are thermostats, not thermometers. A thermometer will react to the atmosphere. The thermometer tells you whether it's hot or cold. But a thermostat can be controlled. It can be turned up and down to control the atmosphere around it. And that's what God wants his people to be. Thermostats. To control the atmosphere. You know, it's been a couple months ago. And I've gotten to the point because of I've trained myself for many years with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to say positive things. When I say hello to people, people ask me, how you doing? I either say, I'm doing great, or I'm doing fine, you know, and I like great. I like to say I'm doing great. And sometimes people are a little, you know, taken back by that. I was in Aldi's. I'm picking up some things for Tammy in Aldi's when I went to Athens. And as I was checking through, the young lady there said, how are you today, sir? And I said, I'm doing great. She looked at me and she said, really? I said, I don't hear that very often. In fact, I don't think I ever hear that. Most people, when I ask them how they're doing, they tell me about their aches and pains and their problems and all the things that's going on in their life. She said, how are you doing? Great. Well, I said, this is a great life, and I serve a great God. I didn't have time to talk to her about it. There was other people behind me. But, you know, just being positive in your attitude makes a difference in people's lives. You can brighten their day just a little bit by letting them know that, hey, things are not as bad as they appear to be sometimes. Right. How many have ever experienced someone who walks in the room and, you know, there's just a dark cloud that follows that person? We know that, right? Yep. Yeah, it happens. And yet we've experienced those people that walk in the room and it's like the sun is walking in the room with them. The S-U-N, because most of the time it is the S-O-N that walks in the room with them. Everything brightens up. People begin to be cheerful. That's what God's called us. Now, we're not always sanguine personality, outgoing personality. We're not all that way. And we're not all going to walk in the room and start telling jokes, crack people up. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just carrying an air about you that is thankful for all the things that God is doing in your life and has done, making a difference. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Jesus' words are spirit and life. And remember, Jesus is the one that said to us, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done for you. Or he said in Luke 17:6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say this to the mulberry tree. Be pulled up from the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We have power in the spoken word. Now, not everything you say is going to come to pass. Now, I've heard people say, oh, be careful that you don't say this or say that. Well, yes, we do need to be careful. But, you know, it doesn't happen like this. I'm talking about when we have an attitude that we cultivate, either negative or positive, then we begin to reap the rewards of that. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is learn to trust the Lord above everything else. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We're not optimistic because life is so good all the time. We're optimistic because we trust in a living God. We're optimistic because our God is on our side. We're optimistic because He said we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. He's the one that says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He's the one that said we have the greater one that lives inside of us. We're not optimistic because we're just optimistic people. We're optimistic because we have a living God that we serve. He's on our side. And we can be optimistic in good times and bad times. Look, a few years ago, we had some difficulties in this church. We lost some people. The numbers went down. And you know what happens when numbers go down? Finances go down. But I determined at that time that regardless of what happened, I was going to preach the Word of God. Sometimes that steps on people's toes. Sometimes it makes them uncomfortable. Sometimes rather than working through it, they run out. That happens. But I'm determined that I'm going to preach the true, unadulterated Word of the living God. It's important. So when that happened, you know, the finances went down. We had a bad winter. The utilities went up. And we had some utility bills that were incredible. I think we've got that fixed now, praise God. But we were going through things. And we could have sat around and complained about it, but here's what we decided to do. As elders and deacons, we decided that we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we're going to seek God, and that's the way we determined to take care of it. Listen, if you want an example of how not to deal with situations that arise in your life that are negative, go to the Old Testament and read about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Read about the way they complained when they didn't have food. Read about how they complained when they didn't have water. Read about what God did. He sent snakes among them to bite them because they were complainers. All He wanted was them to cry out to Him and say, provide for our needs. And yet they complained and complained and complained. They were a bunch of complainers. That's how not to get the blessings of God. The way you get the blessings of God is turn to Him and call out to His name and say, God, we don't understand what we're going through, but we know that You are an awesome and mighty God and You will provide for our needs. If there's something we need to get right in our life, show us what it is so we can get this straightened out. That's the kind of heart God is looking for. And when we cried out to God, He heard our prayer and He's provided for our needs in incredible ways. I can't tell you how incredibly blessed we are to have our God meeting our needs on a regular basis. You know, we had times where we didn't have large numbers of people in this congregation. And yet every week our offerings were right on track to meet our needs. Amen. Our God is well able.
Yes, He is.
But we've got to trust Him. Don't allow yourself to fall into that pit of complaining to the Lord. Psalms 9, chapter 9, verse 10. And those who know Your name will put their trust in You. For You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Amen. Psalms 27, 13. This is where that song comes from that we sang this morning. I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, if we're not putting our trust in the Lord, we'll lose heart. But if we put our trust in Him, we will see His goodness in the land of the living. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.